If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the One Life. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. So tonight our seminar topic is the Real Disclosure Message of the Star Nation Elders. So let's take a deep breath and call yourself forward as you align your physical appearance in time and space with that part of you that is timeless, ever-existent, ever-aware, and ever-observing the goings and comings of this appearance that you have tended to think of as yourself. There is one life, only one life, that manifests as all that exists throughout creation and beyond. And everything is conscious. Everything is alive. Everything communicates. And all life is connected and interdependent and interpenetrating and coexisting as one unified field. This life expresses as creative intelligence itself, weaving and interacting in the various time and space continuums, appearing first in this manifestation and then in that, like a divine cosmic dance. It's beautiful to behold. It's us. It's the I am that is the I of every one of us. And it is ever unfolding into ever more glorious, creative patterns of manifestation. We exist within this quantum field of unlimited potentialities that we can opt into and dance with. And to catch the glory of that, we have to rise above that which has been the limited self, that perceives itself as separate and isolated and different from everyone else. This is the level of consciousness that we are currently rapidly outgrowing and soon will be jettisoned out of, ready or not. So the real disclosure message of the Star Elder Nations and the Star Elders, which are all around us, everywhere, just slightly out of our visual spectrum. In fact, if you could see the number of Merkaba vehicles of light that surround this planet Earth, it would look like Los Angeles Freeway at commute time with a major gridlock. I think probably most of the nations in the world that have freeways can identify with what you go through going to and from work each day. But here in Los Angeles, it's just a way of life. So that is the amount of attention and attentiveness with which this dimensional shift is taking place and being facilitated, assisted, observed, and lovingly superintended by races and civilizations that have gone through this themselves eons ago, and some more recently. But bottom line, They've been there, done that, and know how to assist you who dwell upon this planet with your shift. Now, recently, there was a magnificent film called Sirius that Amar Deep Kaleka and Dr. Stephen Greer independently produced. It's a magnificent film, very, very well done, that was contributed to by many individuals separately, and in that way it got to see the light of day. It recently was premiered here in Los Angeles. I rented the film and watched it online, and you can do that yourself. So I encourage you to do that. It doesn't cost much, and it is a beautiful film and very timely to have this information presented and made available to everyone. I'm going to tie in many things tonight. So before I do, I want to suggest that we all call ourselves forward into the light, asking that whatever information needs to be activated, quickened, and decoded for each one of us individually, that be done in a way that's for our highest good. We ask also that anything that could be lifted, ameliorated, enhanced, or just dissolved through divine grace, that take place also, so that you don't have to be unnecessarily burdened. This isn't about doing it the hard way. Grace is all about letting that which is greater than you do the work through you, and letting that one that stands with you as your upline, your spiritual master lineage and master form, your divine high self, to let that part of you carry the burden. And for that part of you, there is no burden. There is just bliss. So begin to divest yourself of the sense of burden and hardship and having to understand and do everything yourself. That's the old paradigm. This is all about ease and grace and the highest good for all of us, where no one is marginalized or cast aside, overlooked, or looked down upon. We need to realize there are no enemies. There are only the shadows of our own corporate self-indictment that comes looking for us for absolution and dissolution through love, through forgiveness, through grace. We learn to dissolve those things that weigh heavily on the conscience, heavily upon our hearts, and we allow that which is greater to simply shine them away through that gaze of eternal love. No one judges us but ourselves. That's another thing that we awaken to. And it's interesting that every enlightened being has the same message. It doesn't vary. It doesn't matter how they got to that stage of enlightenment, whether they were a Buddhist or a Christian or a Catholic or a Protestant or an atheist or whatever, all come to the same realization and have basically the same message. So all of the argumentation drops when you move from belief to direct experience and direct knowing. And this is arrived at in a way that aligns with your willingness. Really, that's the only factor, your willingness. When you want it badly enough, so much so that you will put it as your top priority in life, that this you must do, this you must realize who you are and why you're here, then the whole universe will conspire to give that message to you in a way that you'll get it, that you'll understand it. So now humanity is in that place where, bottom line, this is cutting to the chase, we are getting ready to go through a series of intense labor contractions. The same analogy is when the woman is in that bearing down process and a series of peristaltic-like movements move that fetus down the birth canal. And there is a great deal of, usually, intensity, very often considerable pain, and a tremendous effort on the part of the mother and the fetus, the child, the baby, to coordinate in this process of birth. In a like analogy, the Star Nation elders have a consensus concern with what they foresee is coming up on the horizon of Earth. Now, I've told you before that according to the information I've received from Commander Ashtar, the shift has already taken place. And again, tonight I asked him to clarify that again so I could be very clear in what I was sharing with you. And again, he said that the shift already took place beyond time in the nowness of spirit. However, in the physical dimension of time-space, it will seem to be occurring at this time and in the months ahead. And he indicated that probably we can't expect it to be more than, at most, a couple, at the max, a couple of years between now and 2015 to, say, 2017. And this is what the Mayan elders have referred to as the end times window. For example, the end of the cycle, the Mayan cycle, occurred, as you know, on December the 21st, 2012. The first day of the new cycle started the next day, the 22nd of December, 2012. But now we have a window which is coming up to the end of a window that was approximately an 8-year cycle that started in October of 2007 and will close basically December 2015, more or less. The actual shift itself depends upon the Earth, which is a conscious being. In Sanskrit, she has a lovely name. She's called Bhumi or Bhudevi, B-H-U-M-I, Bhumi. And she's called Gaia, she's called Mother Earth, she's called many things. But the point is, she's a feminine energy, and like most females, she does what she does when she wants to do it, when she feels like doing it. And we have now moved into the feminine cycle where for the next 13,000 years we'll be under the leadership of the feminine principle. So this ultimate shift into the next dimension or the fifth world will take place when she's good and ready and feels like it, which could literally, according to the Mayans, be at any moment. Could be any moment. Any moment. But most of them feel that it will be between this year and 2015. Now, the middle to the end of this year, we hit the highest intensity of the 24th solar cycle. And this is causing a great deal of concern with the global scientists as well as everyone because potentially could not get all of our computers worldwide. And literally that would stop civilization dead in its tracks. And it would be very difficult for any one of us to survive in that kind of a situation, at least not for very long or very well or very many of us. How many people are actually totally independent, off the grid, and self-sustaining? Not enough to make a whole heck of a lot of difference at this point. So practicality is that we need to be ready to make a dramatic shift of consciousness. Now, I've told you before that the Star Elders are together in saying that if we understand what is happening and cooperate and don't go into fear, this is going to really be a wonderful experience and there's nothing to fear. It's been plan for the last 13,000 years. This is something that is not new to the Star Elders. They have been preparing, working all of this time, some with those of us that are light workers, some of us unconsciously inspired by their direction, some of us very consciously. But we've all had a part in preparing for the day in which we are now having this discussion over a radio show, which is quite an uncommon discussion to have. But BBS Radio is definitely the place to have these kind of dialogues, and this is definitely the listening audience that wants to hear this type of information. So the real disclosure message of the Star Nation Elders is the fact that we are in a time that we absolutely need assistance to make this dimensional shift. We need assistance. And we, we're going to be birthing a lot easier if we feel confidence in the ones that are in the birthing chamber and who are assisting with the birthing. And that's what the message I'm giving tonight is designed to facilitate, is a greater familiarity and ease with this information. Some months back, maybe it was a year back, I spoke about what my friend Drunvalo Melchizedek had shared that he had gotten from the Mayan elders and Don Alejandro, the head of the Mayan Council, that we would be going through a 30-hour period of darkness at the same time that we would be going through this dimensional shift. And that there was nothing to worry about. We were to go to sleep or meditate or just chill and relax and not worry during that time, and that we would come through it just fine. As I told you, I had that conversation with Ashtar, back 14 years ago, when I was looking ahead with him at this time and saying, you know, I don't think anybody's going to be able to go through that experience of pitch blackness for 30 hours, 3 days, or 2 minutes without freaking out. And so since then, they've decided to shift humanity in their own customary cocoon of reality, since we live in our own worlds that are mentally generated anyway. That's not hard to do. Is kind of freeze everybody in suspended animation and translocate them out of time. And it's done in a twinkling of an eye, and you emerge like a butterfly, no problem. So that's the problem. That's a situation, so far as I'm aware of it at this moment, that is still online to be facilitated, and according to what I understand from Ashtar, has already occurred out of time and very successfully. Now the process is gradually for Earth, that's in a time lag, to catch up with the realization of this shift. Some of us are in it already. Others report moving back and forth between this reality and the one that is to be, kind of like human bridges. We all do what we do in our own way because part of our mission is to be a way shower. As a light bearer, we're a way shower to assist those who are part of our coordinate, that are part of our realm of influence, to assist them. And I think you're drawn to the people that you resonate with, that you look to as a way shower, or a person that has a little bit of a clear idea of where we're all headed. And so anyway, I wanted to speak about the fact that this involves a huge shift in the consciousness grid. I've mentioned many, many times in the previous shows about the fact that we, as a collective consciousness, the atomic race fell 13,000 years ago, which was the submersion of Atlantis, and fell from a higher state of consciousness in which the Bible describes it as where we lived and walked with God in conscious fellowship. And then after the fall, man was afraid and hid from God, and develop that duality, separation, consciousness. That's a metaphor for what happened in terms of the consciousness itself. You have to understand that many of those stories are metaphors and allegories and symbolic of the collective consciousness. You know, each of the characters in the scriptures, whether you're looking at the East or the West, in a sense are archetypal metaphors for our states of consciousness. So we can find the Christ and the Krishna and the Buddha and the all of the various ones within our own levels of consciousness. And the other aspects of consciousness are all within us as well. Bottom line, it's all inside you. There's nothing outside of you, quite literally. So anyway, during the last 13,000 years, there has been a plan to reinsert humanity back to the level which it enjoyed in Atlantis, which was an extremely high level of technology, of spirituality, and of the ability to travel interplanetarily, to levitate, to use sound, to build from the top down through consciousness manipulation of the light and sound codes. Had many abilities that were lost along with the electromagnetic grid when there was a polar shift at 13,000 years ago. There was a polar shift. The electromagnetic field went to zero point, which erased all of the memory, so that when people went through that shift, those that survived, they had total, you know, wipeout of any knowledge of anything that went before, and they basically were, you know, in that caveman kind of brutish state. And you know, aside from those that were able to escape, those that escaped that were a part of the priesthood that understood these things were able to migrate to the Yucatan and to Tibet and other places in the world where they continued on, Egypt and other places, which accounts for the fact that there were some very highly evolved things that took place, and you wonder where they, you know, they came from. Just very briefly, I'll describe a little bit of the Atlantean setup, just so we have a context here. The Atlantis was designed in a series of three circles. You had the masses, the consciousness of the ordinary inhabitants of Atlantis in the outer circle. You had the Maya. They were called Mayans in that time, too. You had the Mayans, who were a priesthood, on the inner circle. And then you had an inner circle of the Sacred Order of the Nakkals, N-A-K-K-A-L, Brotherhood. And the Nakkals were the priests that had the sacred secret knowledge and were able to import it and transport it to Tibet and India and other places in the world and to the Yucatan and other places and to Colombia, so that you have many of the indigenous elders, like the Kogi and the Mayans and the Tibetans and the Hopi, and many others that are part of the indigenous elders of this planet, they had a sense of connection to that higher grid that was completely lost by most people that were not able to hold that higher awareness. And there was a misuse of power, a misuse of an abuse of energy. So there was a karmic situation that took place too. But because mankind had at one time been at that high level, the ascended masters were able to advance the return much more rapidly than would normally have been the case if, you know, life was just allowed to proceed as it was. Now the series of events that they foresee happening are eight in number. And part of the message that the crop circles have been attempting to convey has been to give humanity the necessary information to be able to decode what was happening and because the crop circles are transmissions of light and sound frequencies that are literally embedded in the food crops and in the soil of the earth itself, like so many, like acupuncture points. Because of that, there has been a subliminal transfer of that information into our DNA, into our consciousness, on an other-than-conscious level, so that we don't have to be concerned or fearful that we won't catch the message, because on some level, we all catch it at the level we catch it. The important thing to remember is that we have assistance. This is not something that we're being left, you know, like, good luck, Earthians, you know, get our message or forget it. No, it's not about that. It's about communicating to different levels of consciousness on the planet in ways that everyone is addressed. Now, some years ago, I was on a conference as a speaker on the same program with the Russian cosmonaut, Dr. Marina Popovich. And I was reading in a book, which you have to, I'm not going to say you have to do anything, but really, if you want to know what I'm describing here, you need to read the latest book by Drinvalo Melchizedek called The Mayan Ouroboros. O-U-R-O-B-O-R-O-S. Ouroboros. Gotta read it. It will describe to you exactly what I am, in my own way, trying to convey. Now, what was interesting was that she was able to decode what the crop circles were actually trying to say. And I'm going to share a little bit from this book, Ouroboros, on what she had to say. Bottom line, they understood that it was a mathematical message, but so advanced that only a handful of humans would even be able to understand the math. And no one did until Dr. Marina Popovich released her scientific papers. Now, Dr. Popovich, along with other Russian researchers, deciphered the code, and they're now able to read the crop circles like a book. This enormous discovery was backed by five eminent Russian scientists and attracted world attention in 2011. Today, there are over 50 Russian scientists and many others from around the world who support her views. Dr. Popovich believes that these crop circles are being created by extraterrestrial civilizations who are trying to warn humanity about catastrophic changes that are coming to the Earth very soon. They say that the weakening of the Earth's magnetic field has reached critical value and threatens life of mankind. Specifically, Dr. Popovich says that the crop circles are saying that there will be 8 catastrophes that will happen on Earth, one after another, beginning at the peak of this solar cycle, number 24, which is expected in mid to late 2013. That's this year. According to the crop circles, we will most likely not even be able to survive the second catastrophe, and therefore we will have to move up into higher consciousness soon, either before or directly after the first catastrophe. If we make it to this higher consciousness, all will be well. This is the primary message from the extraterrestrials in a nutshell. The first catastrophe, as related by the Russians, will involve solar flares coming off the sun and reaching such strong levels that the sun erases all computer memory banks of the world. By this, we mean hard drives, CDs, DVDs, and other memory technologies based upon magnetics, except for those that are especially placed in a quality Faraday cage. If this memory loss were to happen, it would destroy our global infrastructure on all levels. The world was warned by our governments when Y2K took place at the turn of the century that if the computer systems of the world were to be shut down, it would be a global disaster. We managed to avoid that catastrophe because a Frenchman figured out how to solve the problem. But we have learned nothing from our experiences 11 years ago. We have continued to develop our computer systems on a global level with no contingency plan if they were to stop. Today, we are far deeper into computer systems controlling our lives. Everything, literally everything, comes to us through a computer. If the global computers were to stop in less than 48 hours, all supplies would be gone. The entire world would stop immediately, and this would be only the first catastrophe. And I'm going to skip down to the bottom of this paragraph. I'm reading from Drunval Melchizedek's book, The Mayan Ouroboros. If Dr. Popovich and her team were the only ones saying this, it would probably not hold a lot of scientific weight. But they are not. This first catastrophe is exactly what NASA has predicted for the world at the end of this 24th solar cycle. Over a year ago, NASA went public with their statement predicting a world catastrophe based upon massive solar flares wiping out the world's computer systems. NASA predicts that the entire world could be shut down for 1 to 9 months. England responded by having their scientists compile information to see if this truly was a high possibility, and further responded by backing NASA. Obviously, the governments are on red alert over this possibility. But Dr. Popovich and the extraterrestrials are saying that there will be 7 more catastrophes, and even if we survive the first one, we cannot survive the subsequent ones. And this is the warning by the extraterrestrials that before the second catastrophe strikes us, we must leave the third dimension of the Earth and move into higher consciousness, the fourth dimension of the Earth. In that world, the Earth is in complete balance, and we can easily survive. All of this aligns exactly with Mayan prophecy. The biggest catastrophe would have to be the physical pole shift that Don Alejandro predicts based upon the Mayan prophecy. Like the Russians, they expect many waves of chaos. And like the Russians, the Mayans say that changing consciousness levels and moving to the fourth dimension is the only answer. It's almost like the Russians knew the Mayan prophecy. End of quote. That's from Drunval Melchizedek's book, The Mayan Ouroboros. I suggest that you watch Drunval's YouTube and log in to his drunvalo.com, his website, and get further information. And he has said that he will be available and will do all he can to help people through this shift. And I have known Drunvalo for many, 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 many years, and have found him to be a very trustworthy elder brother. And he's a direct, he's now sitting on the council, I believe, of the Guatemalan 440 Mayan elders. And he may be on the Itza Council also of Ombudsman. Anyway, that is definitely worth your time to read his 3 books, which I think are, if you have a great interest in this and a great desire to know how to guide the people that you're mentoring, the people you're working with, and understand yourself how to best relate to what's happening in the world today, I suggest reading the book Serpent of Light, Ouroboros, and Living in the Heart. Living in the heart, in heart coherency, is the absolute secret to how to move through this dimensional shift. The living in the heart is so interesting because according to the Mayan elders, the Kogi Mamos, those are the shamans, and what they taught Drunvalo is that all of creation emanates from the heart of God. Of course, we know that metaphysically. We talk about that a lot. But quite literally, creation emanates from the secret, sacred place of the heart. Our own reality is projected, the true reality, not projected, actually it's entered. You know, when Jesus said you enter the kingdom of heaven, it's within, that's what he was speaking of. There's a tiny, tiny little opening inside your heart, your spiritual heart, that you can enter. And they say that, the elders say that when you enter that, you'll see the universe. You'll see the stars and the suns and the moons and plants and animals and a world. And that is the kingdom of heaven. That's that inner world. And it's inside you. That's why all the mystics say that the real world is inside you. It's entered through the heart. And you know, because we live and move and have our being within God, we always are in the heart of God. We exist in the heart of God. We've just lost conscious awareness of it. So the whole secret to being living in harmonic resonance with this new earth is living in the heart. Another really interesting thing that Drenvalo shared, I'm quoting again from his book. This is Drenvalo speaking. Not long ago, I spent some time living in Colombia in the Sierra Nevada mountains with the Kogi Mamos, those are the wise men, and the Arhuaco Mamos. The people of these tribes believe that there are 9 worlds altogether, and that we are about to enter the 5th world. The Native Americans of both the United States and Canada also believe this. While in Colombia, I said to the Kogi Mamos, so we still have 5 more worlds to enter to reach the highest level of consciousness. And I'll never forget what they said. One of them turned around and he looked at me for a moment, and then he said, no, you don't understand, Drenvalo. Everything in life is to achieve balance. The 5th world is in the middle of the 4 worlds on either side. It is the perfect balance within the universe. There is no higher world. The Mayans say something similar, that the next world, which they call the 6th sun, based on 0 starting point, is a world where humanity will reach a new level of consciousness. We will achieve this new level very, very quickly. The Mayas say this new level of consciousness changes how we interpret the outer reality and alters our inner reality. We find ourselves literally babies in a beautiful new world. As the new cycle technically begins on December 22nd, 2012, but which actually manifests sometime within the end of time window, duality consciousness, or good and bad consciousness, disappears, and a new golden mean, unity consciousness, replaces our old way of perceiving. The human ego no longer exists, and we see each other as parts of ourselves, and we are changed forever. With the opening of this new unity consciousness, the Maya predict that the human quarantine to the solar system that has existed for thousands of years will be lifted through cosmic grace given to us by Great Spirit. As it is lifted, humanity will realize that the stars and all life everywhere are intimately interconnected in living consciousness. The Maya are clear that we will be able to be anywhere in the universe in time, space, dimension, and size. At this moment, this reality is beyond our imagination. The Mayans say that our human potential will reach levels that at this time would seem absolutely impossible for us. The new humanity will very quickly become normalized and accepted as the truth. To speak of it from a normal human perspective, the Maya predict that humankind will no longer be involved in finance, politics, war, food, oil, and other such things. We will become one with the Creator, and we will be able to manifest all things from within our hearts. We become co-creators with the Creator. Remember this time and remember the Maya and know that what is coming is beautiful and sacred, something to celebrate and be grateful for. As Meher Baba once said, don't worry, be happy. This is definitely the best approach for life at this time. Breathe from your heart. Life is not what it seems. It's not even close to most of our parents, what our parents believe to be true. We are on the edge of a fantastic odyssey to remember ourselves. We live in a dream that our mind has crystallized into what we call reality. We believe it's fixed and can only change according to the laws of physics. The Maya believe you will soon know a part of yourself that is so ancient that it goes beyond the stars and planets. They are just a dream also, and like a dream upon awakening, you realize that it was nothing but light, or better still, nothing but pure consciousness. It is a time for you to remember who you truly are. This knowledge is very much alive inside your heart, and you will remember everything has been prepared, and our new world is now ready to receive you. In Lakesh, which means, I greet another of myself. And that's a quotation from Drunvalo Melchizedek's book, The Mayan Ouroboros. So you can see what a magnificent book it is and how timely and important it would be for you to read it, or at least hang out with it, sleep with it under your pillow, but get the vibe next to you, because it's going to vibrationally resonate within you at a level that you will appreciate. So the consciousness grids that we're shifting out of, to explain a little bit, everything has a grid, whether it's a tiny little bug or a human being. Everything has a grid that's unique to itself, just like the snowflake is unique. Each grid pattern that aligns you to the all that is unique. There's not another you in all of existence, although we are all one. That's one of those wonderful, strange things that is part of the awesomeness of creation. Is that we're unique, and yet we're all one. So there's three major consciousness grids in terms of humanity. You have the first one, which is the aboriginal, and all of consciousness grids are striving to come into the golden mean, or the phi ratio, it's called. That's the perfect weights and measures, as it's called in the Bible, a perfect divine template. And so everything is attempting to resonate that consciousness perfection. The aboriginal consciousness came close, but wasn't quite there. Although they have lived for tens of thousands of years in close harmony with nature without destroying nature, that's because they're in harmony with the natural world. Then you have the second. You have the modern world grid of the industrialized world that we live in, which is totally cattywampus. It's totally out of sync with the world. In fact, it's such a dangerous state of consciousness that's so negative and polarized that it literally destroys everything it touches. Obviously, you just have to look around at the world and see, you know, what we've done to it in such a short period of time. And so that's why it has to be transitioned quickly to the next level as fast as possible before we destroy everything. So this was just meant to be a bridging of consciousness that would take us from one side to the next, the aboriginal to the unified field. But we got, you know, log jammed down here. We didn't move very fast. So now we're going to have that cosmic boost that we need to get us through the birth canal. This second grid that we're in now, this modern world grid, is based entirely upon what we call polarity consciousness. It's got different names around the world, but it simply means that we see everything as either black or white, and we're constantly judging every situation and every person we see as good, bad, or indifferent. And this is the nature of polarity consciousness. And this type of consciousness is a problem because it manifests as what we call the ego mind. And the ego only thinks of itself. It doesn't really think of other people, doesn't care about other people, except for maybe those that it it has some form of attachment to or somehow a benefit to it personally. So basically only cares about itself. And that's the level that the mass consciousness that is mostly in. So normally these consciousness grids are created naturally over hundreds of thousands of years in the course of everyday life, and gradually you evolve slowly through the actions of learning and working through karma and all that sort of thing. And then you begin to create and matriculate into the next grid level of consciousness naturally. But now that's not going to happen. We have to move out of this third dimensional dog-eat-dog mentality very quickly. We need help, and the help is arriving in the form of elder brothers and sisters from the surrounding planets, and those who have already landed on Earth and live in bases in mountains and desert areas and other remote areas of the planet. There are many that walk the streets with us every day. You would not recognize them as extraterrestrials because they are from the planets, the interior of planets in our own solar system, or higher dimensional levels of those planets that seeded life here originally in the first place. So we all look alike. We all came from the same gene pool. It's interesting, in the Sirius film, they show this tiny little beautiful 12-inch high, or smaller, I don't actually remember how small it was. It looked really tiny in the film. Perfect little humanoid, precious little humanoid that they did DNA testing and found indeed it was a humanoid, although the person that did the test on it said he wasn't at liberty to say everything that he could have said. You know, obviously they shut him up or tried to shut him up. So he could only share so much, but he said enough that we knew that he had more information that confirmed the fact that it was indeed a human, albeit a very small one. Now, if you go to David Wilcox's website, divinecosmos.com, and read his most recent blog, I think you'll find it very interesting, because he was mentioning that at the time they were getting ready to debut the Sirius film and release the disclosure hearings and all of that, they had all of these so-called meteors and that crashed in several places in the world, including Russia, which injured and killed quite a few people, I understand. And what he is suggesting is that these precious little extraterrestrials were trying to coincide a mass appearance with the release of this film. This is his estimation of what happened, because humanoids were found at each of these, which turned out to be crash sites, or actual ships that weren't asteroids, or actually crash sites of ships that were shot down by our technology, and that they found those little, same little tiny humans, 10 to 12 inch ETs in all of the crash sites. I'm quoting David Wilcox. I don't know, I wasn't given this information, but I wanted to insert it here so you can do your own research, because it's very interesting and sad, you know, because wicked planets, you know, it's never treated forces of light with anything other than hostility and a desire to kill and eradicate the messengers of light and truth. Work I've been given has not been to talk about this very much, because my work is to work with the Christ consciousness and its activation and implementation in the human consciousness. So I speak about the living in the heart. In fact, I've done many, many different conferences on the same platform at the time that Drunvalo was also a presenter. And one of my friends said that he said one time that there were, I think he said something like 107 or 108 masculine ways to return to God, and that there was only one way that was the way of the heart, and that I was one of the few teachers that he found that was teaching that. This is like, you know, 20 years ago. But I always remembered that, because of all the people I've ever met in my life, the a person that every time I would hug him, I would kind of melt into him, and I would lose track of time and difference. You know, like we would merge into one body, and you know, sometime later, it kind of come to and realize, oh, we're hugging, and he's just pure love. There's nothing else in Dwindvalo but pure love. And so I thought that was an immense honor that I would hear that, that he had said that. And I hope that's true, because that certainly has been the only thing that's been important to me, is to have a pure heart and to live in the presence of God. You know, that's all I've ever been interested in, and sharing that with other people. But I've had experiences of being in this unified field of where everything is divine light. I've actually had that experience, so I know that there is nothing but God. God is light, and there's nothing else. That's it. And light and God and consciousness and your true self are one and the same. So the more you come into living in that sacred light of your heart and living in God's holy thoughts, which is an acronym that we use in the movement of spiritual inner awareness to describe light, living in God's holy thoughts, the more we return ourselves to that state, the more we will be in a state of consciousness in which we will be already living in that fifth world, and we won't notice any shift. We'll just suddenly notice an absence of war and conflict, and all of those things will be in the peace of God. And this is what Sai Baba has constantly taught us, that it's going to be very fast. We're going to be in that golden age, and there won't be any vestige of crime or war or hatred or evil anywhere. It'll just vanish. And that he had come as an avatar to correct the intelligence principle that had bought into the separation, that had developed this ego, and to correct it with the medicine of his teaching and his presence through these many, many decades that we were blessed to have his physical presence with us. And we're still blessed because he's here now as Prema Sai Baba, although we don't know exactly where. And I don't think he wants us to know where, because he wants us to realize this time that we are God, and not to be following him. You know, all of the great masters, this is something everyone needs to realize. There's no difference between the masters that are celestials that come from other planetary worlds, the masters of the ascended masters of the Great White Brotherhood, the Mayans and the embodied beings who originally traced their heritage back to Atlantis and the Pleiades and Venus and Mars and other planetary systems. There's no difference. They all work as one. Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad, Sai Baba, Krishna, Rama, the mystical traveler, the Mahanta, all of these lords and ladies of light work as one. They love humanity. They feel a responsibility for, once having realized God themselves, to then share their information with others. That's what you do. When you have the blessing of any degree of understanding and insight, it's your dharma then to share that. Not in a preachy, teachy way, but in a way that helps others. Our greatest gift is to make others happy. Our greatest thing that we can do with another person is to appreciate them and to do what we can to make them happy. We can't give happiness to people, but we can point the way. And real happiness, according to Sai Baba, is union with God. So the closer we get to God in our consciousness, the happier we get. The more we live from our heart, the more we feel love for everything around us, until everything then becomes the friend with a capital F. You just love everyone with all your heart. And that is what it means to be in Christ consciousness. You don't leave anyone outside the pale of your love. And that's the thing. Sai Baba, in an interview not too recently, but during the time when I was with Sai Baba in the 80s, he gave an interview to some of the Westerners. I was not present, but I heard this from a friend who took notes. And one of the devotees asked, "What is the best way for us to relate to the world?" And Sai Baba said, "Do not spend your time thinking about the world or your relationship to individuals. These are all impermanent. They have only to do with the body. The body is just a water bubble. The mind is like a mad monkey. Do not follow either the body or the mind. Follow the self, the Atma, your true divine self that is eternally one with God. It is beyond the mind. It is permanent. It is the unchanging truth within you. Most important, do not ever think that you and God are separate. Think always, God is with me. God is inside me. God is around me. All there is God. I myself am God. I am the infinite, the eternal. I am not two. I am one, only one. There is no one else besides me. I and God are one and the same." To realize this unity, the very first step is to develop self-confidence. It comes when you realize that God is not outside of you. Self-confidence means thinking all the time, "God is in me. God is doing everything. Without God, I cannot be. All this is God. I only want to think of God." Where there is self-confidence, there will be love, and there will be peace. And there will be truth, for there will be God. Without self-confidence, there cannot be a realization of God. So first, there must be self-confidence and love of God. So I hope this has been useful to you this evening. Know that God is in charge, all is well, and be prepared to step into the most glorious experience that you've had in probably all of your existences. And let's just chant very softly, "En Lakech, I greet another you." En Lakech. And of course, they chant "Hu," so we can go out chanting. So God bless you, and God willing, I'll be with you this time next week. Adonai.